Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Today, we continue our focus on a different aspect of each Easter. We've been trying to do that each week for the last couple of weeks. And if you were here last week, you recall that we discussed Paul's evidence regarding the resurrection. And the thread or thrust of the message was, in view of the resurrection, would we decide to believe in it or not to believe in it? And our text today, we go to Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 15 through 23. A very familiar text at this time of the year, yet we shall approach it maybe from a little different aspect than usual. Please follow along in your Bibles as I read Matthew 27, 15 through 23. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with the innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Different people are mentioned in the Gospels who were eyewitnesses either to the crucifixion or to the resurrection of Jesus, and some were eyewitnesses to both. And it would take many, many pages to write their stories. However, everything in the Bible concerning Barabbas can be expressed literally in one sentence. I suppose if we stretched it out and maybe added a lot of adjectives, we could compose two sentences. So as a result of this scarcity of information, the vast majority of us probably have never heard a sermon preached regarding Barabbas. Well, that will change today, because today our topic is Barabbas and his view of Easter. Now, as Connie will attest, I love to watch shows like Law and Order. At the end, the bad guy is caught, justice is served. Something within us cries out against injustice. And at the time of our text, the greatest injustice in the history of time was being perpetrated. Jesus had been arrested, and he is brought before the high priest, the chiefs, the scribes, and the elders of the people of Israel. But since the Jews had no power to put a man to death because they were under Roman rule, they need to devise a way to have Jesus subject to the death penalty. Jesus was arrested by the Jews for blasphemy, that is, claiming that he was God. So in order for him to be tried for a crime punishable by death under Roman law, he must be accused of a crime against the Roman Empire. So the Jews alleged that Jesus was claiming to be king and therefore was guilty of treason. So he is brought before Pilate, the Roman governor of the area. Now, Pilate has no interest in dealing with this man named Jesus. He had already been warned by his wife to have nothing to do with Jesus. She had had a bad experience because of a dream involving Jesus. She had told her husband that Jesus was a righteous man. The only reason Pilate was involved with Jesus was because the chief priest had brought him before Pilate. And now a mob outside Pilate's headquarters was screaming, "Crucify Jesus." Pilate, as governor, customarily released a prisoner at the feast. And this, of course, is the feast of the Passover. This was a feast that was celebrated each year at this time. And he had hoped to convince the people to choose Jesus as the one to be released. He knew Jesus was guilty of no crime whatsoever against the Roman Empire. So he remembers this man named Barabbas. And Barabbas was an inmate in a prison nearby Pilate's headquarters. Now Matthew describes him as a notorious prisoner. John identifies him as a robber. Mark states that Barabbas was a murderer. And from these references, it is apparent that Barabbas was an evil man and had committed many sins in his life. And the prison in which Barabbas was housed was approximately 2,000 feet away from Pilate's headquarters, the location where Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Barabbas can hear the crowd, but he cannot hear Pilate. Pilate says, "What do you want me to do? What man do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus?" And the crowd cries out, "Barabbas!" And he says, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And the crowd shouts, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Barabbas, all he hears is, "Barabbas, crucify him." So he knows his fate is death. And then the guards open the door to his cell, and as thoughts of death inevitably race through his mind, they tell Barabbas he is now free. "Free to go?" Barabbas asked. "Yes," they reply, "someone else will die in your stead today." Barabbas was a sinner. And as much as it might pain us to admit, he is identified with all of us because God's word tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And just like Barabbas, we are bound in a prison of sin with a death sentence awaiting us. We may have never committed sins as heinous as Barabbas, but it does not matter. To God, a sin is a sin, and we are all guilty of sinning. Paul told the church at Rome, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all have sinned. Now Barabbas deserved to be punished. There's no question about that. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He had already been convicted of these crimes. He deserved to die. We too have sinned. We too must pay for our sins, or ask Jesus to pay for them for us. Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, tells us that whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. Barabbas deserved to die. He had shed the blood of another man, and he must pay the price. For the wages of sin is death, Paul tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the moment that Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, God gave a death sentence upon all humanity. It was a death sentence which Adam and Eve passed down to each and every one of us. For if by trespass of one man death reigned through that man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Jesus is the only hope for those of us who have sinned, including Barabbas. I think we can correctly conclude that Barabbas desired to be released. It's in our human nature not to want to be in prison. Barabbas was no different from anyone else. He wanted a pardon. He wanted to walk free from that prison cell. And likewise, as sinners, we desire relief. We desire to be free from the pain of a life bound with misery and depression, being a slave to the various sins in our life, whether it be cheating on our income tax, cheating on a spouse, cheating customers at business. We need to be relieved from that pain. And before Jesus came, there was no relief. We were bound by the law, the Mosaic law, and no one could live up to the law. And Paul says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard accounts of people who were taken captive in Iraq during the fighting there that still continues. Well, in November 2005, three members of the Christian Peacemakers team were in Iraq protesting the war. And they were rescued by American and British forces after 4 months in captivity. And after the rescue, the organization, the Peacemakers team, released a press statement. And in this press statement, all they said was the captives were released, and then they condemned America for even being in Iraq. This is what happened to Jesus. He came to set us free and paid the ultimate price of dying on the cross, yet so many don't even give him a second thought, not even a second glance. But on this day that Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate,
Barabbas discovered redemption from his prison cell. Who nailed Jesus on the cross? Was it Judas? Was it the Roman soldiers? Was it Pilate? Was the crowds crying, "Crucify him"? No, it was not. It was us. It was me and you. It was my sin and it was your sin. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. In the Old Testament, we are instructed in Leviticus chapter 16 regarding the sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. The priest was to bring a bull and two lambs to the altar. And the bull he was to sacrifice for his sins and those of his family. And the two live lambs, the two live goats, were to be brought before the altar. And lots were to be chosen. And the one to whose lot fell to God was to be sacrificed for sin, a sin offering. And the other goat was to be set into the desert and released. But before that, the priest would place both hands on the goat's head. And he would pray and confess the sins of the people and ask that all their sins be placed upon the goat's head. And then a man who had been chosen for the job would take the goat into the desert to a specific place, a secluded place, and release him. The goat became the scapegoat for all the sins of the people. And when Jesus went to the cross, he became the scapegoat for us. He carried all our sins. He suffered all of God's punishment for our sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had committed every sin in this world. And yet he treats us as believers as if we have committed no sin, although we sin each and every day. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And now complete in him, my robe his righteousness, close sheltered neath his side, I am divinely blessed. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Barabbas discovered on that very day that Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate the amazing grace of God. No, he didn't accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but he did receive redemption from death. Barabbas viewed Easter as the time he was saved by a man called Jesus. Such is exactly how we should view Jesus, as the time when Jesus was crucified and resurrected 3 days later in order to give us eternal life if we but accept him as our Lord and Savior. It's not a difficult concept to understand. It's not deep theology. It's not in-depth Bible study. We read that if we but believe in Jesus who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If we but accept him, we too can be redeemed. And we give you that opportunity this morning. We can't save you. I can't save you. All I can do is tell you how to be saved, and that's to confess to Jesus that you are a sinner and that you accept him as your Lord and Savior.